You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's the final hour on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Lane Kiffin, the Ole Miss head coach, will join us, get his thoughts on Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC. Lane Kiffin, always a good time. Phone calls are welcome. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. With free agency yesterday, the NBA championship odds didn't really change that much. Brooklyn is still your big favorite. And then followed by the Lakers with their addition of Russell Westbrook. Then it's the Bucks, the Golden State Warriors. The Miami Heat are in there as well with the 76ers. So not too much changed. But the one thing that I want to keep an eye on, and you probably never would think that I would say this, is Dennis Schroeder's future, because he didn't sign anywhere. Could you do a sign-and-trade with Dennis Schroeder if you're the Lakers, and what could you get in return? And could you get Buddy Hield, the shooting guard for the Sacramento Kings? That, other than that, you know, Kyle Lowry going to Miami, all right, you exchange Goran Dragic, all right. Duncan Robinson re-signs. They get P.J. Tucker from the Bucks. Okay. I mean, that's a good roster there. You know, the Bucks losing P.J. Tucker, that's, you know, that was the guy that was guarding Kevin Durant. Trying to figure out if anybody, Chris Paul staying with Phoenix, I think they had to do that. I mean, this is ownership famous for not paying, and they're paying, and they're relevant, and do I want to give him 4 years? No, but it was, I don't know what the other options were for Chris Paul if you weren't going to give him 4 years at 120. Yes, Paulie.
You're bringing up Dennis Schroeder with the Lakers. If you go back to when they acquired him, it was all flowers. They loved it. He was a guy who was averaging 19 points, 4 assists, a gutsy player, good defender for Oklahoma City. Remember, he was at Atlanta a few years ago. They really thought that was a high-end player for them. Not a big three type player, but a high-end second tier player.
Oh, I thought it was a great addition. I thought, okay, you got a younger guy, more athletic, an upgrade over Rajon Rondo. At least we thought. It started out okay, and then all of a sudden he turned down the extension, and I thought, oh, wow, I don't know if he's in a position to turn that down. And I don't know what kind of money he's going to make now. But that was the interesting part. And the Lakers are just kind of filling up their roster with Dwight Howard and Wayne Ellington, Trevor Ariza. So, all right, you got to have those players. They're one and done. Kent Bazemore, it's one year. That's kind of what they have to do right now. Yeah, McLovin.
Doesn't it all come down to are LeBron, AD, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant healthy?
Yeah.
I feel like it's hard to see anything moving off that.
No, and you know the fact that if the Nets are healthy, they're going to be the prohibitive favorites, but they haven't been healthy. And as we move forward with this, can the Bucks? What the Bucks didn't really do anything, and they lost P.J. Tucker. They'll get Dante DiVincenzo back. He was injured during the playoff run, but Milwaukee kind of stood pat. The Knicks didn't do anything. Keep hearing, hey, Dame Lillard, if he gets traded, the Knicks are the destination. I don't know why he would go to the Knicks, because you're not winning there. And what are you giving up to get Dame Lillard there? Because it's like when Carmelo did the sign and trade when he was leaving Denver to go to the Knicks. And then he gets to the Knicks and he's like, where is everybody? They traded everybody to get you. And I just think it would be two steps forward, two steps back if you're Dame Lillard, that if he goes to the Knicks, all right, you get a big stage to play on. But you're not a great team. You were an interesting team this year, but the Knicks, they're probably 7, 8, 9 seed type team. It feels like. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. McLovin, do you have the poll results?
Yes. Which rookie QB plays in a playoff game first? We have a 2-way tie with Trey Lance and Mac Jones. Close third, Trevor Lawrence. Can you make a case that Urban Meyer, now that the Colts have some injuries, the Texans are bad, maybe there's a window for the Jags to get good?
Well, I think they'll be better, but I don't know how much better they're going to be. By the way, where is my Tim Tebow jersey that I ordered a couple of months ago? It was supposed to be here in July.
Maybe they're not sending him until after roster cuts.
Well, they said that it was going to be delivered in July. And if you're the NFL, they don't care if Tim Tebow gets cut. If I buy my Jags jersey. Yeah, McLovin.
What number was it? Do you remember?
Whatever number he's wearing.
So is he set in his number?
85?
Yeah, I'm seeing 85.
Yeah. Yeah, I ordered a Tim Tebow jersey for the man cave, but I have not received it yet. Yeah, Paul.
He had two catches and a touchdown the other day.
Oh, I know. Oh, don't I know?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I know. Absolutely. The Colts announced yesterday that Carson Wentz will have foot surgery and could miss between 5 and 12 weeks. At least they know what they have to do now, because there was a thinking, a thought process of, we just rest him and see if it heals. This is something he's had since high school, apparently. Jacob Eason is probably going to be your starter. We just had Ian Rappaport on from the NFL Network, and he said he didn't think the Colts were going to make a trade and trade for Nick Foles. Somebody's got to break that news to Nick Foles, because he's going to be heartbroken when he finds that out. But Ian Rappaport said he didn't think so. You got a good offensive line. They run the football. You got a good defense. It's a tough schedule. And McLovin, if you pull up the Colts schedule, and I said that even with Carson Wentz, it's a tough schedule.
Brutal.
Yes. They have one easy game in the first eight or nine, and that's the Texans.
They have the Texans, but man, it is going to be really hard to win with Jacob Eason here. Let's see. So week one, the Colts play the Seahawks, then the Rams, the Titans, at Dolphins, I don't know about that, at Ravens, Texans, and then they have in week seven at the Niners.
Yeah, those are all, I mean, that's a brutal schedule, even with Carson Wentz there. And that's why I bring up what the Packers are facing. We just assume that, well, Rodgers is back, they're going to the NFC title game again. But I would have my doubts, given that schedule, that you're going to play the AFC West and the AFC North. Like, your division is, you know, not too difficult. Although it feels like, you know, maybe the Bears or Vikings surprise them, get a win against them. It feels like one of those teams is going to steal at least one game from them. But with the Colts, that's pretty tough. Even though, I mean, Jacksonville will be better. The Texans are not good at all. And Tennessee is going to be formidable as well. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, you're right. Do you now have me depressed about the Packers?
I know.
They'll win that division probably, but they're not going to have the seed they had last year.
No. And, you know, I think in a 17-game schedule, trying to, you know, these teams are going to be resting players. Is there load management that's going to happen in the NFL? Trying to keep everybody healthy. How many quarterbacks played all 16 games last year? Like, it's really difficult to be able to do it. And sometimes they hold you out because they can. But you know, trying to keep everybody healthy at that position, and that's why these backup quarterbacks, these rookie quarterbacks, you know, when do they get a chance? Do you start right away if you're the Jets? What do the Niners do? You hold on to Jimmy Garoppolo just because you can with insurance, at least for this year? Yeah, McLovin.
The Packers, by the way, at New Orleans week one, at San Francisco week three, they go to Kansas City and to Baltimore this year.
Yeah.
Remember they added that 17th game? It's like a first place battle.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yes.
Tough.
Yes. Yeah, Paul.
You know, the art of the backup quarterback is so interesting. You want to have someone good but non-threatening. Yeah. Like Chad Henne with the Kansas City Chiefs. He's not taking anyone's job, especially Mahomes, but he feels like a high-end backup situation. And Mitch Trubisky, he was just a starter and wants to revive his career. Well, he's of no threat to Josh Allen. But if Josh Allen, say, missed two games and Trubisky comes in and plays well with a good team, he could be on the market again for another chance, like a Ryan Tannehill type, where you get another chance down the road.
Well, you needed Henne in the playoffs against the Browns when Mahomes got hurt. Like, when I need you, you got to be able to perform. And Henne had two touchdowns. And, I mean, that's the key. You have somebody. You don't want them to be threatening for the job, but you want them to be threatening to the opposition when they come onto the field. Like Marcus Mariota, would the Colts be interested in him? I don't know. I mean, it seems like there's a list there. Man, maybe Mariota is just a career backup, it feels like. Adam in Jacksonville joins us. Hey, Adam, what's on your mind today?
How are you, sir?
Great.
Man, Mr. Patrick and all the Danettes, I am mad fan. First-time caller, 5'10", 200 pounds. Love to love you, always have. I'm thinking about, I'm down here in Actionville. We call it Jacksonville. But, yeah, Trevor Lawrence with Urban Meyer, all the, everything's going on. What do you think? Maybe we're going to come out on top?
Well, what do you mean on top?
I'm talking about the AFC, baby. I mean,
oh, well, no. Not yet, Adam. Adam might have been drinking early. I like hope. Up with hope. But Actionville, I just want to see how Urban Meyer is as a pro coach. Just the whole, the process of everything. Because when you're running a college football team, you got a total autonomy. He's got to adhere to the NFL Players Association, you know, the NFL rules and regulations. And you can't just go out and recruit. Like you got to be sharp in that war room. You got to be great free agency, capology. Like there's just so much involved in it. And the tedium that goes into that. And that's where I wonder how, if he's wired for that. As far as a football coach, he's wired for that. But everything else that goes along with it, that's what I'm curious about with him. Yeah, Paulie.
Remember when it was Saxonville with the Jaguars about 3 years ago with that defense before they traded everybody?
I liked it.
Saxonville.
Yeah, I thought that was a great nickname. I don't know if it's Actionville yet, but you got Trevor Lawrence in there. And you like the skill position players, though, don't you, McLovin?
Travis Etienne, like, as a third down. No, like a guy who catches a million passes. Yeah. DJ Chark.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm thrilled about them.
Well, it feels like there's a breath of fresh air there. That, you know, you have new coach, the new regime, got rid of the old. You bring in Trevor Lawrence. Everybody loves a rookie quarterback, you know, a high draft pick. Like, it just feels like the Jets, new coach. Got a new quarterback, rookie quarterback, who, by the way, turns 22 today. Zach Wilson's 22. Tom Brady turns 44 today. How old do you feel today? Yes, McLevin.
There was a picture of the Jaguars quarterbacks at three quarter. I don't even know who was on the depth chart. And Tebow happened to be standing next to them. People pass around Twitter.
Do you think Tebow just hangs around just in case?
Oh, you know he is. You know he has a desire on doing a jump pass or something this year.
Hey, any Wildcat plays here? Hey, how about a quarterback sneak? How about a jump pass? How about anybody? I'll do a jump pass here. That's got to be difficult. You're one of the greatest college quarterbacks of all time. It'd be like you're one of the greatest scorers of all time, and then somebody says, hey, we just want you to play defense in the NBA. And you're like, I'm one of the great scorers of all. No, we want you to just play defense. Yeah, Paul.
I kind of disagree. A year ago, Tebow was hitting 188 in Binghamton, and now he's on Jacksonville with a chance to make the roster. This is he got a lifeline there. Whether he makes it or not is up to his abilities.
Yes, but if it wasn't Urban Meyer, would he be getting this chance anyplace else? Would he have decided to play tight end for anybody? I had brought it up to him years ago, and you could just hear, nope. Not interested in changing positions. Yes, Eden.
If anything, it just makes you ask more questions about Urban Meyer going into this. Right? Like, what are you doing, dude? You're bringing in Tebow? Like, this is your first job in the NFL, and you're like, oh, yeah, let me get Timmy?
But Tebow's his neighbor. Yeah. Do you think that every time Urban went out to get his mail, like Tim has somebody throwing passes to him? Hey, coach! Just getting in shape.
I feel like I'm an expert at avoiding my neighbors.
Oh.
Do you think Urban is like, hey, honey, is Tebow outside? Yeah, he's in his front yard. He's doing calisthenics. All right, I'll go out and get the mail. Go, you know, taking out the garbage. You're trying to be really quiet, rolling along. He hears the cans rattle. Hey, coach, what's going on?
Timmy, why do you have eye black on? It's 9 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Yeah, your ankles are taped. I don't know, coach. I'm just ready. I'm ready. Whenever you need me, I'm here. He's got a blocking sled in the back. He's got one of those jugs gun where he's catching footballs. It's a great story. It's all about content. Let's take a break. Lane Kiffin will join us coming up next. More phone calls as well. It's 16 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives, because there's so many times that, like, if you're in the airport and you want to pull up Wi-Fi, Well, that public Wi-Fi, that personal information is there, and it can get into the wrong hands. That can ruin a vacation. Every day we put so much information at risk on the internet. And in an instant, a cyber criminal can steal what's yours. Your credit, harm your finances. That's why get LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But protect what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now. You save up to 25% off your first year. Make sure you use the promo code Patrick. So you call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com. Make sure you use the promo code Patrick and get 25% off. LifeLock.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Bruce Springsteen's daughter, Jessica, failed to qualify for equestrian individual jumping final at the Tokyo Olympics. She's 29 years of age, made her Olympic debut, but she will ride on Friday night again as a part of America's four rider entry in the jumping team competition. So Bruce Springsteen's daughter, she came in ranked 14th in the world in jumping. I don't know if Bruce was over there. I don't think any parents are able to go over there. I'm not sure. But I saw the story and knew that she was qualifying for the Olympic team, but did not medal. All right, a couple of phone calls here. We'll wait for Lane Kiffin, set to join us coming up. Yes, Paulie?
Do you guys know anything about equestrian? Do you rent the horse? Do you own your own horse? Does the stable, like, assign you a horse? How does that work?
Well, I think she owns that horse.
Well, her dad has money, but let's say you're like some 10-year-old whose mom and dad don't have a ton of dough. How do you get into equestrian?
I'm going to guess that you're able to use horses that they have. You rent those. Yes, Eden.
I don't know. It sounds like an awfully expensive sport.
Yes, it does.
But I know that the horse that she was on, she's been riding for 2 years.
Yeah. Yes, McLovin.
I heard the story. So they moved from L.A. to Jersey because Bruce didn't want his kids to move up, and they moved to a 358-acre house with horses and a stable across. But my wife was an equestrian, and she did it. She grew up in inner city Chicago, which is a hotbed because, you know, in like Grand Park, Paul, you can help me out. What are the park? Central Park has it too. Inner city riding programs are a big deal.
There are some parks on the south side of Chicago where you could ride horses.
Mm.
Not where I was from. There's horse cops.
Oh.
Yeah, she grew up where Obama grew up. I don't know what it's called. South side. North side.
But that... which one is it?
I don't know.
It's some side.
People always say, like, you can't just say south side. You have to say it with emphasis.
Oh, really?
I don't know. But, yeah, inner city horseback riding is a big thing. Sarah was a jumper over, like, I don't know what that's called. You know what it's called? Jumping?
Jumping over the fence.
Dressage is when they dance.
Yes. I'm fine with some of these events, but there's some events and you go, this is a sport?
Does a horse get the medal too?
No.
The horse doesn't get the silver?
No.
I mean, it's at least 50-50, that partnership.
Well, have you seen those horses dance?
Yeah.
When the music comes on, the horse knows the song and starts dancing. Like, it's crazy. I don't know if it should be a sport, but that's one of those where you go,
really?
Dressage. And why don't they have synchronized swimming for guys? For men.
They don't?
I don't think so. I've only seen the women do synchronized swimming or rhythmic gymnastics. I know Will Ferrell did that in old school, but they did it. He did it quite well. But I don't know how they decide, well, this is only going to be for men. This is only going to be for women. Yes, Paul.
Did we finish this whole Bruce Springsteen bit without Fritzy throwing in one Bruce Springsteen imitation? What else is he here for?
Yeah.
Well, oh no. That's all I got.
You had 4 minutes.
I know. You should have had like a limerick or something about it.
Oh, Todd has a limerick, by the way. Carson Wentz limerick. I don't know what rhymes with Wentz. Todd, are you ready for your Carson Wentz limerick?
I am.
Okay.
The Colts had some lofty goals. Now the offense suddenly has holes. Carson Wentz breaks his foot. Indy's season may be kaput. He's lobbying, so give it to Foles.
Okay. Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome. I'll go find Coach Kiffin, hopefully.
Yes. Now go back to your day job, all right? Mark in New York joins us on the program. Hi, Mark. What's on your mind today?
I think that a much better choice for Damian Lillard would be to go to the 76ers. The 76ers made it to the conference championship, so they're close. So the Sixers have to give up Ben Simmons and draft picks, and it'll be a question of, does Portland want that?
Yeah, but why is Portland going to take that, Mark?
Right. Well, the Damian...
Thank you, Mark. Yeah. Yes, McClellan.
And they didn't make the conference championship. They lost to Atlanta in the round before the conference championship.
Yeah. Yes, Damian Lillard would be great for the 76ers, but they want a whole lot more for him. They want to give up. I mean, Philly wants draft picks, and like, it's crazy. They want all-star. Like, it's wild. Lane Kiffin is joining us on the program, the University of Mississippi head coach. Where are you right now, Coach?
I am in Oxford, Mississippi. We are back at work.
All right. So this is the official interview room at Ole Miss?
This is actually our team room with the backdrop.
Is anything in there that's interesting?
No, just a bunch of chairs and that's about it.
You're looking lean here. You're looking good. You look in shape.
Thank you. Good summer. Yeah. Got some discipline this summer.
Are you all right?
Yeah. Doing well. In California and in Boca for vacation, where I still have my house, and now we're back at work here.
Your reaction to the new additions coming your way, Texas and Oklahoma?
I think it's great. I mean, SEC is already the most powerful conference and most draft picks and kind of dominating recruiting. So this probably goes to the next level where you're basically looking at it now as, you know, if you're a recruit, especially with name, image, likeness, money, wanting to make that, how are you not going to go to the SEC?
Do you recruit Clemson? Do you recruit Big Ten teams? What do you think the SEC, what else is the SEC going to do?
I have no clue. I worry about what I can control. Obviously don't have any say in that. So, I mean, I wouldn't guess that you'd go add more, you know, right away, you know, kind of like when they put A&M and Missouri in, but you never know.
What would you tell Texas and Oklahoma they're in for joining the SEC, certainly with football?
Just every week, you know, that's the difference, you know, coming here when I went to Tennessee from USC and then Alabama and then back here now. It's just every week, you know, it's on, and you're going to have some great players on the other side and usually some high NFL picks, you know, on every team that you play.
The name, image, and likeness has been big. And I know, at least it was reported that you were surprised Bryce Young at Alabama was going to get $1 million here. How do you deal with that day-to-day with your team, with players?
Well, yeah, I was surprised by that. I was at the SC Media Days, and that was thrown out there, and I just didn't think that it would get to that level, especially this fast of players that hadn't started or really played very much. But I guess after looking at it more and, you know, talking to people more, that there's more into investing into the younger player that's going to play a few years versus the guy who's going into his last year of eligibility that, you know, if you sign him, you only got him for 1 year, you know, to make money off of him. So it's just a new world that we're dealing with, more like it would be in professional sports. We really are professional sports now. I mean, players get paid and we have free agency, except our free agency is almost year round. So, you know, it really has changed a lot.
Yeah, I was wondering how this works if a booster at Ole Miss says, hey, I'm going to give this starting offensive line $50,000 each for whatever, promotion, or a restaurant. You know, we feed the offensive line at Ole Miss. Like, do you see those things happening? Do you have to put out fires as the head coach here or anything go through you with the name, image, and likeness?
Yeah, we just send it because it's so complicated now and, you know, what you're able to do where you couldn't do any of this before, you know, it couldn't help out at all. So, you know, or pay players. So now we just send them to compliance, let them figure it out.
The transfer portal, how does it work that if a player is going or you're able to receive a player, how much heads up do you get with that?
Yeah, you don't really, you know, it's like I said, it's a free agency without the rules. So kid just goes in and all of a sudden he's out there, you can go take him, you know, or your kid comes and goes in and it's not like you can franchise him or something like that and keep him. So, and they can like go in and then like come back. So, it's, you know, allowing it now that where everybody can just go and play immediately is awesome for the kids, but that's a whole, you know, I don't think it's going to be as great as everybody thinks. And you're going to have a ton of kids, just like we have had hundreds and hundreds of kids that go in with nowhere to go because the numbers don't work right. You know, you lose these kids. They don't give you new spots. You still only have 25 spots.
Yeah.
So a school may only have one or two spots to take people, but yet all these kids are leaving thinking they can go somewhere. And then when you take them, let's say you somebody took 10. Now that's only 15 guys out of high school you can take. So that's 10 less high school players getting scholarships just to one program. So I think it's going to have some unintended consequences here.
You had one of my favorite players, Elijah Moore, and he was taken by the Jets. What are the Jets getting with him?
Awesome kid. I mean, I already saw interviews where they were talking about it's like he's been in the NFL already. Very unique maturity, practice habits, preparation. So he is a true example when they say what a pro player is. He is and already was in college.
Is it the transition from pros to college or college to pros? What do you think is tougher? Because I'm looking at, you know, what Urban Meyer is doing as a coach. So is there a tougher transfer between those two?
Yeah, college to pro. That's definitely tougher. But they're really tough either way now because if you haven't been in one, like even if you go pro forever and you come back to college, it's just changed so much. And the offenses have changed. You know, it's like two different sports now, you know, the NFL and college. And really it used to be in college, we were always copying the NFL, yeah. You know, going to make cutups their offense and plays. It's actually backwards now. The NFL actually over the last 3-4 years copies college football. If you look at, you know, the RPOs and different type of throws and offenses and usage of tempo and situations, it's actually gone backwards. I think it's harder for a defensive coordinator, you know, that's an NFL background to come in and be successful in college.
Well, do you think that you got hired, you know, with Saban at Alabama just because he needed to get caught up with modern offenses? I mean, maybe that's not fair to coach to say it, but you were brought in to give a freshness to the offense.
Yeah. And I think that's well documented. He said that, you know, he wanted it to change. And credit to him, he saw the problems it was giving him on defense. They had actually lost their last two games at that time to Auburn and kick six and then to Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl. So, you know, credit to him, he wanted to change and saw that people that weren't changing and evolving on offense and still trying to do the old way, you know, pro style, under center and all that, they were getting fired. So, you know, and that worked and it changed. And then that, to me, that changed recruiting of offensive players at Alabama, which is now an issue for all of us because now they can go get all the offensive players because it used to be you had a chance to beat them on offensive players because they were so conservative. Well, now they're winning all these awards and everything and scoring 50 points a game. So now nobody beats them on defensive players or offensive players.
Does it feel hopeless at times, given how great Alabama is?
A little bit, you know, at times in recruiting, especially when he, you know, announces that his backup quarterback from last year is getting $1 million. That's going to be a little hard to recruit against. I mean, like he just accidentally threw that out there, you know. It didn't do
You need to get Warren Buffett or Jeff Bezos to be a sugar daddy for the program there.
Yeah. We're going to need some help on that one.
I think he's signing a new contract. Like, how much is Saban worth if you put a dollar figure on it each year to that program?
Way more than what he makes. And I understand, you know, faculty and when people say, okay, how does a guy like that make that much money when he just coaches football? But, you know, the money he brings into the program and the university, you know, people – when a football program's rolling, you know, the university changes. you know, student applications change, you know, so tuition goes up, you know, everything changes. So as crazy as it is, kids around the country will watch a football program doing well and they say, I want to go there, even though they don't play football.
Well, good luck this season, Coach. We'll be checking in on you and always appreciate your time.
All right, Dan. Have a good one. Thanks.
Thank you. That's Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss head coach. They went 4-5 last year. They lost let me see. No, they won. Didn't they beat Indiana in the Outback Bowl, I think? I think they beat them by a touchdown
they
or
did.
Something. Yeah. Yes, Paulie.
It's Shred Fest down in Oxford.
Yeah, he looks tanned, rested.
But good. No visor?
Yeah. I was wondering if he even wanted to do the interview when we started. I was like, is everything okay? It took a little while. Normally, he comes out of the gate and he's on fire.
Well, thin people aren't funny. Thin, healthy people are nowhere near as funny as people who have a couple pounds on.
Yeah, remember when I had that problem with Jonah Hill?
Mm-hmm.
When I asked him, you know, do people not think you're as funny? I don't know what the line was, but I have people who in Hollywood who remind me of that line. They're like, I remember when you asked Jonah Hill that if he's thin or he got thinner, is he not as funny? And Jonah didn't take too kindly to that question. I think he laughed at all. I think he was like, oh, come on, Dan.
Do you think that's why he put the weight back on after that interview?
He became funnier.
I think he said, did you really just ask me that? I believe was the quote.
It
did
was.
You really just ask me
was
that?
It? Oh.
Do you want us to go get the clip?
No.
Nope. You're saying no or yes?
No. But I wasn't saying he wasn't funnier by being skinnier. I just wondered if people reacted that. Okay, I've had a couple of bad questions out of the thousands of interviews that I've done. I've had a couple of them. Yeah, Paul.
There's a scene in the movie Funny People. Do you remember that movie Funny People? It's Seth Rogen, Jonah Hill.
Adam Sandler.
And Seth Rogen is kind of in shape in that movie. He's like, for him, he's kind of really in good shape and thinner.
Yeah.
And Jonah Hill has a line. He goes, you look weird now that you're in shape. You're not as funny or something like that. You look weird now that you're in shape. There's a line where Jonah Hill delivers it to Seth Rogen where he goes, you don't look in shape now. You just look weird. And he says it to Seth Rogen.
Okay.
Maybe that was based off our interview with him. Full circle.
Yes, McLovin.
It's a fact. Good-looking people are not funny. It's just because they don't need that skill. It just never happened.
You don't work on it.
Also, you don't work on it. If you're tan and handsome, why do you don't need
well,
it's to
like
be
a
funny.
Beautiful woman doesn't develop her personality.
Oh, I don't know about that.
No, well, people will say that they may not have a great personality because they don't need one. I'm not saying that.
I mean, my wife has both.
Yes, Todd.
Not that I would know, but an actual comedian who does shtick on the... you know, on stage, they're often angry, they're bitter, they're depressed. That's part of their act. And it's hard to buy into a good-looking, fit, healthy person as being upset or angry with the world.
Yeah, but Eddie Murphy was funny. Right?
But nobody wants... You know, the guy who wins... the quarterback who gets a cheerleader doesn't ever win funniest guy in school. That's the guy with like the little love handles and the curly hair and is everybody's buddy and drinks out of
the
cake.
Yeah, but I was class clown.
Were you the quarterback and the prom king?
I was my freshman year. I was the representative of the freshman class in the prom court.
Assistant to the assistant manager,
something like that.
And started that pretty high.
I did play quarterback freshman year. So, but I was class clown.
Look at Dane Cook, the comedian. He was really hot for a short amount of time because for a comedian, he was like a 10. And then the backlash because he was too good looking.
Where did he go?
I don't know.
I haven't heard from. About Dane Cook and all.
I think the backlash was more about where he got his material.
Well, there was some backlash
on nice.
That. Yes. Yes, McLovin.
You're well documented talking about your challenges in the looks department in high school.
Yes, that's
why you got funny, because you were skinny and like me.
Yeah.
Well, not like me.
I wanted you, yes. When your face is full of acne and you're very skinny, and all I had was a jumper to my name. I had nothing else. That was it. So, yes, I had to come up with something and still trying to come up with something. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow, right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow, and this day in sports history. That's coming up. Jake in Washington. Hey, Jake, what's on your mind?
Hey, DP. Earlier, you had said made a comment about Fritzy sticking to his day job.
Yeah.
Well, what is that?
annoying me, I think, and America.
But yeah.
He does it quite well.
Hey, on a serious note, I want to chime in. Lane Kiffin had talked about the value of Nick Saban and just being fairly, you know, somewhat invaluable. I went to Purdue during the Drew Brees and Joe Tiller era, and the athletic director used to come in for beers on Friday afternoon before he'd take off for the weekend. And we were talking about a new contract that Coach Tiller had signed. And he had the same comments. He's like, you know, we were talking about how much it was. And he's like, you don't understand how invaluable this man is to the city of West Lafayette, let alone the university. And then how the football team funded so many of the other sports. And it was really a great insight for me just to understand the value of a winning football team.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Jake. Paulie wanted to go to Alabama because of the football program. You know, like, I understand it. When you have that calling card, there are a lot of great universities. But when you see a university on TV and you see the atmosphere, you see the campus, like everything about that, it's a great public service announcement for the university. And that's why Saban's going to make, I think they said, around $10 million. Like, you could pay him $20 million with what he means to that program. There's only a handful of those coaches, but what he means to the program and what that program means to the school and the amount of money that is raised, generated. Yeah, Paul.
And I don't know if this is directly relatable to Nick Saban and his success at Alabama, but when he got there in 2000, what did he get there, 06? Does that sound right? Well, 15 years ago, the attendance at University of Alabama was 21,000 kids. It's now 38,000.
Yeah.
It's almost doubled. But they've had the biggest jump in out-of-state applicants. More than any school in the SEC, Alabama has out-of-state applicants have risen since the Nick Saban era. Whether it's a coincidence or not, it's a fact.
Dave in South Carolina. Hi, Dave. What's on your mind?
Hey, just calling back, calling about the overweight comedians, but one that I think left off your list that's skinny is Ryan Reynolds, because he's pretty dreamy.
But he's not a stand-up comedian. Like, he's an actor comedian. That's different. I mean, he's likable, but he's not a stand-up comedian. Yes, yeah,
so you could be a good-looking, funny actor.
Yeah.
But probably not a good-looking stand-up comic.
Well,
is that what we're landing on?
I don't think it fits with the job description, because the comedian goes up there and they've had a bad day, right? I don't know if you said to Brad Pitt, hey, I want you to be a stand-up comedian. And do you buy into, there's certain comedians that they wear, you know, what they really feel, what's happened to them, what their life is like. You know, Seinfeld is a good-looking guy. He's a stand-up comedian. Not known for his looks, right? McLovin, is that?
Oh, yeah. What about John Mulaney's pretty good looking in a boyish way.
Yeah.
Nerdy, Ivy League good looking.
Yeah. Saban's new deal worth at least $84 million over 8 years. All right. 7 national titles and set to make just under $9 million a year. We don't even know what Belichick makes, do we? I don't know if there's ever been... I'm sure there's public estimates there, but what he means to that franchise helped turning it into a billion-dollar franchise. But what's Saban? I mean, Saban's turning 70 this year. He wants to coach until 2029? 2030? Yeah, McLovin.
What does he spend? And he probably can't spend a dime in Alabama because everything's free for him.
I know. Well, I think they bought his house... and then they sold it back to him for a dollar.
Right, they keep buying his house and selling it back to him for no money. So why would you?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
They're going to buy that house a couple more times. Yeah. They're going to buy it, give it back, buy it, give it back.
Oh, coach, are you putting our house back on the market?
Hey,
oh,
I
okay.
got some buyers.
You want to sell our house again? Okay, what are you asking? Okay, great. You know what, coach? We're looking to unload some properties. What do you think?
But when I said to Lane Kiffin, like, you know, do you have that feeling of dread with, he goes, yeah, you know, Alabama's backup quarterback hadn't played and he's going to make $1 million.
He goes, he just casually dropped that. Yeah. Right. Right. He just accidentally let that slip out. Okay.
And Kiffin goes to Alabama and he got there and he opened up the playbook, opened up Coach Saban's eyes to say, hey, this is what you need to do. Now all those players, the offensive players that weren't going to Alabama are like, wait, Alabama, they're throwing the football. I got these guys actually can throw the ball. You got wide receivers going in the first round. Like, uh-oh, that's bad news for everybody else. Yeah, McLovin.
The thing about Saban and that backup quarterback line, it's Bryce Young. He was Gatorade Player of the Year. He could have made $1 million. I think that was such a line by Saban.
But he hasn't played yet.
But he was supposed to start over Mac Jones. He just lost the job. Like, he's a superstar. Do you see Quinn Ewers is going to make $1 million and leave
Texas, the
number one recruit this year? Yeah.
Going to Ohio State.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's not like some backup quarterback out of nowhere. Bryce Young was pretty famous.
Yeah, Paul.
I've been wanting to delve into this. I know we don't have time, but Quinn Ewers is a high school star in Texas. He's skipping his senior year of high school. Is this eligible to anybody? Could have done this? Is he not going to his senior year of high school to go to Ohio State early?
Well, he probably took classes over the summer to be able to graduate.
I didn't know it was possible to graduate high school early.
Don't a lot of football players?
Well, no, there's kids that go to college and they're 13. Like, you have these geniuses who go to Ivy League schools. They graduate from college at 16.
I wonder if that's him. I wonder if it's football related.
Yes.
I think a lot of high school football players figure out a way to get to campus in January so they're there for spring. I've heard that a lot. Paul, it's a good question. How on earth do you do that? I would like to do it too.
He's skipping the fall. And like, that's crazy. You'd think he'd play the football season, but he's like, nope, I can make money now. And I'm going to get to Ohio State. I'm going to compete for the job. He's going to be a freshman. So, number one college recruit. Yes, Paulie.
I never know how it works down there in Texas. Is Quinn Ewers leaving high school early? Tim Riggins on Friday Lights. He was in high school for 8 years. I can never figure out Texas.
Yeah, they wouldn't let him leave high school in Friday Night Lights. Let's see. Final results of the poll question, McLovin.
Which rookie is going to play in the playoffs first? Trey Lance edges out Mac Jones.
You got this day in sports history, Paulie?
1936, Jesse Owens won the first of his 4 Olympic gold medals in Berlin. That's it.
It was 4 years earlier that they had automatic timing and photo finish cameras for track events. First time it was used, the LA Olympics. I don't know how long it took for them to develop the pictures, though. Yeah. We'll let you know who won. It'll be 3 weeks from now. Todd, what'd you learn today?
Mike Tirico says Simone Biles has not slammed the door on participating in the 2024 Olympics in Paris.
McLovin.
Lane Kiffin says Nick Saban knows what he's doing.
Seton O'Connor.
Not much happening down there with Lane.
No, it didn't sound like it. Paulie?
It's Lean Kiffin.
Oh.
Nice.
What We Learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, 5-star sales service, and financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz Vans, built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Thanks for joining us. Do it again tomorrow. Seen Paulie Fritchie, McLovin, yours truly.